Part 2. Ghosts in the Mist. 12. It wasn't until years later that I became convinced that Elendi was the Hero of Ages. Hero of Ages. The one called Rabzin in Chlenium. The Anamnesser. Savior. A fortress sat in the misty murk of evening. It rested at the bottom of a large depression in the land. The steep-sided, crater-like valley was so wide that even in daylight, Sazed would barely have been able to see the other side. In the oncoming darkness, obscured by mist, the far edge of the massive hole was only a deep shadow. Sazed knew very little about tactics and strategy. Though his metal minds held dozens of books on the subjects, he had forgotten their contents in order to create the stored records. The little he did know told him that this fortress, the Conventicle of Saren, was not very defensible. It relinquished the high ground, and the crater's sides would provide an excellent location for siege engines to pelt rocks down at the walls. This fortress, however, had not been built to defend against enemy soldiers. It had been built to provide solitude. The crater made it difficult to find, for a slight rise in the land around the crater's lip made it practically invisible until one drew near. No roads or paths marked the way, and travelers would have great trouble getting down the sheer sides. The Inquisitors did not want visitors.
"Well?" Marsh asked.
He and Sazed stood on the crater's northern lip before a drop of several hundred feet. Sazed tapped his vision tin mind, drawing forth some of the eyesight he had stored within it. The edges of his vision fuzzed, but things directly in front of him seemed to grow much closer. He tapped a little more sight, ignoring the nausea that came from compounding so much vision. The increased eyesight let him study the conventicle, as if he stood before it. He could see each notch in the dark stone walls, flat, broad, imposing. He could discern each bit of rust on the large steel plates that hung bolted into outside stones of the wall. He could see each lichen-encrusted corner and ash-stained ledge. There were no windows.
"I do not know," Sazed said slowly, releasing his vision tin mind. "It is not easy to say whether or not the fortress is inhabited. There is no motion, nor is there light. But perhaps the Inquisitors are just hiding inside."
"No,"
Marsh said, his stiff voice uncomfortably loud in the evening air.
"They are gone."
"Why would they leave? This is a place of great strength, I think. Poor defense against an army, but a great defense against the chaos of the times."
Marsh shook his head.
"They are gone."
"How are you so certain?"
"I do not know."
"Where did they go, then?"
Marsh looked at him, then turned and glanced over his shoulder.
"North."
"Toward Luthadel?"
Sazed asked, frowning.
"Among other things," Marsh said. "Come. I do not know if they will return, but we should exploit this opportunity."
Sazed nodded. This was why they had come, after all. Still, a part of him hesitated. He was a man of books and genteel service. Traveling the countryside to visit villages was enough removed from his experience to be discomforting. Infiltrating the Inquisitor stronghold. Marsh obviously didn't care about his companion's inner struggles. The Inquisitor turned and began to walk along the rim of the crater. Sazed threw his pack over his shoulder, then followed. They eventually arrived at a cage-like contraption, obviously meant to be lowered down to the bottom by ropes and pulleys. The cage sat locked in place at the top ledge, and Marsh stopped at its side but did not enter.
"What?" Sazed asked.
"The pulley system," Marsh said. "The cage is meant to be lowered by men holding it from below."
Sazed nodded, realizing this was true. Marsh stepped forward and threw a lever.
The cage fell. Ropes began to smoke, and pulleys squealed as the massive cage plummeted toward the chasm floor. A muted crash echoed against the rocks.
If there is anyone down there, Sazed thought, they now know we are here.
Marsh turned toward him, the heads of his eye spikes glistening slightly in the failing sunlight.
Follow however you wish, he said.
Then he tied off the counter rope and began to climb down the ropes. Sazed stepped up to the platform's edge, watching Marsh shimmy down the dangling rope into the shadowed misty abyss. Then Sazed knelt and opened his pack. He unhooked the large metal bracers around his upper and lower arms, his core copper mines. They contained the memories of a keeper, the stored knowledge of centuries past. He reverently placed them to the side, then pulled a pair of much smaller bracelets, one iron, one pewter, from the pack. Metal mines for a warrior. Did Marsh understand how unskilled Sazed was in this area? Amazing strength did not a warrior make. Regardless, Sazed snapped the two bracelets around his ankles. Next, he pulled out two rings, tin and copper. These he slipped on his fingers. He closed the pack and threw it over his shoulder, then picked up his core copper mines. He carefully located a good hiding place, a secluded hollow between two boulders, and slid them inside. Whatever happened below, he didn't want to risk them being taken and destroyed by the Inquisitors. In order to fill a copper mine with memories, Sazed had listened to another keeper recite his entire collection of histories, facts, and stories. Sazed had memorized each sentence, then shoved those memories into the copper mine for later retrieval. Sazed remembered very little of the actual experience, but he could draw forth any of the books or essays he wished, placing them back into his mind, gaining the ability to recollect them as crisply as when he'd first memorized them. He just had to have the bracers on. Being without his copper mines made him anxious. He shook his head, walking back over to the platform. Marsh was moving very quickly down toward the chasm floor. Like all Inquisitors, he had the powers of a Mistborn. Though how he had gotten those powers, and how he managed to live despite the spikes that had been driven directly through his brain, was a mystery. Marsh had never answered Sazed's questions on the subject. Sazed called down, drawing Marsh's attention, then held up his pack and dropped it. Marsh reached out, and the pack lurched, pulled by its metals into Marsh's hand. The Inquisitor threw it over his shoulder before continuing his descent. Sazed nodded thankfully, then stepped off the platform. As he began to fall, he mentally reached into his iron mind, searching for the power he had stored therein. Filling a metal mind always had a cost. In order to store up sight, Sazed had been forced to spend weeks with poor eyesight. During that time, he had worn a tin bracelet, stowing away the excess sight for later use. Iron was a bit different from the others. It didn't store up sight, strength, endurance, or even memories. It stored up something completely different. Weight. This day, Sazed didn't tap the power stored inside the iron mind. That would have made him more heavy. Instead, he began to fill the iron mind, letting it suck away his weight. He felt a familiar sense of lightness, a sense that his own body wasn't pressing upon itself as forcefully. His fall slowed. The Terrace philosophers had much to say on using an iron mind. They explained that the power didn't actually change a person's bulk or size, it just somehow changed the way that the ground pulled against them. Sazed's fall didn't slow because of his decrease in weight, it slowed because he suddenly had a relatively large amount of surface exposed to the wind of his fall, and a lighter body to go along with it. Regardless of the scientific reasons, Sazed didn't fall as quickly. The thin metal bracelets on his legs were the heaviest things on his body, and they kept him pointed feet downward. He held out his arms and bent his body slightly, letting the wind push against him. His descent was not terribly slow, not like that of a leaf or a feather. However, he didn't plummet either. Instead, he fell in a controlled, almost leisurely manner. Clothing flapping, arms outspread, he passed Marsh, who watched with a curious expression. As he approached the ground, Sazed tapped his pewter mind, drawing forth a tiny bit of strength to prepare. He hit the ground, but because his body was so light, there was very little shock. He barely even needed to bend his knees to absorb the force of impact. He stopped filling the iron mind, released his pewter, and waited quietly for Marsh. Beside him, the carrying cage lay in shambles. Sazed noticed several broken iron shackles with discomfort. Apparently some of those who had visited the conventicle had not come by choice. By the time Marsh neared the bottom, the mists were thick in the air. Sazed had lived with them all of his life, and had never before felt uncomfortable in them. Yet now he half expected the mists to begin choking him. To kill him, as they seemed to have done to old Jed, the unfortunate farmer whose death Sazed had investigated. Marsh dropped the last 10 feet or so, landing with an Allomancer's increased agility. Even after spending so much time with Mistborn, Sazed was impressed with Allomancy's gifts. Of course, he'd never been jealous of them. Not really. True, Allomancy was better in a fight, but it could not expand the mind, giving one access to the dreams, hopes, and beliefs of 1,000 years of culture. It could not give the knowledge to treat a wound, or help teach a poor village to use modern fertilization techniques. The metal mines of Ferrochemy weren't flamboyant, but they had a far more lasting value to society. Besides, Sazed knew a few tricks about Ferrochemy that were bound to surprise even the most prepared warrior. Marsh handed in the pack.
Come.
Sazed nodded, shouldering the pack and following the Inquisitor across the rocky ground. Walking next to Marsh was odd, for Sazed wasn't accustomed to being around people who were as tall as he was. Terracemen were tall by nature, and Sazed even more so. His arms and legs were a bit too long for his body, a medical condition brought on by his having been castrated as a very young boy. Though the Lord Ruler was dead, Terrace culture would long feel the effects of his stewardship and breeding programs, the methods by which he had tried to breed ferrochemical powers out of the Terrace people. The conventicle of Saren loomed in the darkness, looking even more ominous now that Sazed stood within the crater. Marsh strode right up to the front doors, and Sazed followed behind. He wasn't afraid, not really. Fear had never been a strong motivator in Sazed's life. However, he did worry. There were so few keepers left. If he died, that was one fewer person who could travel, restoring lost truths and teaching the people.
Not that I'm doing such at the moment, anyway.
Marsh regarded the massive steel doors. Then he threw his weight against one, obviously burning pewter to enhance his strength. Sazed joined him, pushing hard. The door did not budge. Regretting the expenditure of power, Sazed reached into his pewter mind and tapped strength. He used far more than he had when landing, and his muscles immediately increased in size. Unlike Allomancy, Ferrochemy often had direct effects on a person's body. Beneath his robes, Sazed gained the bulk and build of a lifetime warrior, easily becoming twice as strong as he had been a moment earlier. With their combined effort, the two of them managed to push the door open. It did not creak. It slid slowly but evenly inward, exposing a long, dark hallway. Sazed released his pewter mind, reverting to his normal self. Marsh strode into the conventicle, his feet kicking up the mist that had begun to pour through the open doorway.
Marsh?
Sazed asked. The Inquisitor turned.
I won't be able to see inside there.
You're Ferrochemy.
Sazed shook his head.
It can let me see better in darkness, but only if there's some light to begin with. In addition, tapping that much sight would drain my tin mind in a matter of minutes. I'll need a lantern.
Marsh paused, then nodded. He turned into the darkness, quickly disappearing from Sazed's view.
So, Sazed thought, Inquisitors don't need light to see.
It was to be expected. The spikes filled Marsh's entire sockets, completely destroying the eyeballs. Whatever strange power allowed Inquisitors to see, it apparently worked just as well in pure darkness as it did in daylight. Marsh returned a few moments later, carrying a lamp. From the chains Sazed had seen on the descent cage, Sazed suspected that the Inquisitors had kept a sizable group of slaves and servants to attend their needs. If that was the case, where had the people gone? Had they fled? Sazed lit the lamp with a flint from his pack. The lamp's ghostly light illuminated a stark, daunting hallway. He stepped into the conventicle, holding the lamp high, and began to fill the small copper ring on his finger, the process transforming it into a copper mind.
"Large rooms," he whispered, "without adornment."
He didn't really need to say the words, but he'd found that speaking helped him form distinct memories. He could then place them into the copper mind.
"The Inquisitors obviously had a fondness for steel," he continued. "This is not surprising, considering that their religion was often referred to as the Steel Ministry. The walls are hung with massive steel plates, which bear no rust, unlike the ones outside. Many of those here are not completely smooth, but instead crafted with some interesting patterns etched, almost buffed, into their surfaces."
Marsh frowned, turning toward him.
"What are you doing?"
Sazed held up his right hand, showing the copper ring.
"I must make an account of this visit. I will need to repeat this experience back to other keepers when the opportunity presents itself. There is much to be learned from this place, I think."
Marsh turned away.
"You should not care about the Inquisitors. They are not worthy of your record."
"It isn't a matter of worthiness, Marsh," Sazed said, holding up his lamp to study a square pillar. "Knowledge of all religions is valuable. I must make certain these things persist."
Sazed regarded the pillar for a moment, then closed his eyes and formed an image of it inside his head, which he then added to the copper mind. Visual memories, however, were less useful than spoken words. Visualizations faded very quickly once taken out of a copper mind, suffering from the mind's distortion. Plus, they could not be passed to other keepers. Marsh didn't respond to Sazed's comment about religion. He just turned and walked deeper into the building. Sazed followed at a slower pace, speaking to himself, recording the words in his copper mind. It was an interesting experience. As soon as he spoke, he felt the thoughts sucked from his mind, leaving behind a blank hollowness. He had difficulty remembering the specifics of what he had just been saying. However, once he was done filling his copper mind, he would be able to tap those memories later and know them with crisp clarity.
"The room is tall," he said. "There are a few pillars, and they are also wrapped in steel. They are blocky and square, rather than round. I get a sense that this place was created by a people who cared little for subtlety. They ignored small details in favor of broad lines and full geometries. As we move beyond the main entryway, this architectural theme continues. There are no paintings on the walls, nor are there wooden adornments or tile floors. Instead, there are only the long, broad hallways with their harsh lines and reflective surfaces. The floor is constructed of steel squares, each a few feet across. They are cold to the touch. It is strange not to see the tapestries, stained glass windows, and sculpted stones that are so common in Luthadel's architecture. There are no spires or vaultings here, just squares and rectangles. Lines. So many lines. Nothing here is soft. No carpet, no rugs, no windows. It is a place for people who see the world differently from ordinary men. Marsh walked straight down this massive hallway, as if oblivious to its decor. I will follow him, then come back to record more later. He seems to be following something, something I cannot sense. Perhaps it is...
Sazed trailed off as he stepped around a bend and saw Marsh standing in the doorway of a large chamber. The lamplight flickered unevenly as Sazed's arm quivered. Marsh had found the servants. They had been dead long enough that Sazed hadn't noticed the scent until he had come close. Perhaps that was what Marsh had been following. The senses of a man burning tin could be quite acute. The Inquisitors had done their work thoroughly. These were the remnants of a slaughter. The room was large but had only one exit, and the bodies were piled high near the back, killed by what looked like harsh sword or axe strokes. The servants had huddled up against the back wall as they died. Sazed turned away. Marsh, however, remained in the doorway.
"There is a bad air about this place," he finally said.
"You have only just noticed that?" Sazed asked.
Marsh turned, glancing at him, demanding his gaze.
"We should not spend much time here. There are stairs at the end of the hallway behind us. I will go up. That is where the Inquisitor's quarters will be. If the information I seek is here, I will find it there. You may stay or you may descend. However, do not follow me."
Sazed frowned.
"Why?"
"I must be alone here. I cannot explain it. I do not care if you witness Inquisitor atrocities. I just do not wish to be with you when you do."
Sazed lowered his lamp, turning its light away from the horrific scene.
"Very well."
Marsh turned, brushing past Sazed and disappearing into the dark hallway. And Sazed was alone. He tried not to think about that very much. He returned to the main hallway, describing the slaughter to his copper mind before giving a more detailed explanation of the architecture and the art, if indeed that was what the different patterns on the wall plates could be called. As he worked, his voice echoing quietly against the rigid architecture, his lamp a weak drop of light reflected in steel, his eyes were drawn toward the back of the hallway. There was a pool of darkness there, a stairwell leading down. Even as he turned back to his description of one of the wall mounts, he knew that he would eventually find himself walking toward that darkness. It was the same as ever. The curiosity, the need to understand the unknown. This sense had driven him as a keeper, had led him to Kelsier's company. His search for truths could never be completed, but neither could it be ignored. So he eventually turned and approached the stairwell, his own whispering voice his only companion.
"The stairs are akin to what I saw in the hallway. They are broad and expansive, like the steps leading up to a temple or palace. Except these go down into darkness. They are large, likely cut from stone and then lined with steel. They are tall, meant for a determined stride. As I walk, I wonder what secrets the Inquisitors deemed worthy of hiding below the earth, in the basement of their stronghold. This entire building is a secret. What did they do here, in these massive hallways and open, empty rooms? The stairwell ends in another large, square room. I've noticed something. There are no doors in the doorways here. Each room is open, visible to those outside. As I walk, peeking into the rooms beneath the earth, I find cavernous chambers with few furnishings. No libraries, no lounges. Several contain large metal blocks that could be altars. There is something different here in this last room at the back of the main landing. I'm not certain what to make of it. A torture chamber, perhaps? There are tables, metal tables, set into the floor. They are bloody, though there are no corpses. Blood flakes and powders at my feet. A lot of men have died in this room, I think. There don't appear to be torture implements beyond spikes, like the ones in Inquisitor eyes. Massive, heavy things, like the spikes one might pound into the ground with a very large mallet. Some are tipped with blood, though I don't think I'll handle those. These other ones, yes, they look indistinguishable from the ones in Marsh's eyes. Yet some are of different metals.
Sazed set the spike down on a table, metal clinking against metal. He shivered, scanning the room again. A place to make new Inquisitors, perhaps? He had a sudden horrific vision of the creatures, once only several dozen in number, having swelled their ranks during their months sequestered in the conventicle. But that didn't seem right. They were a secretive, exclusive bunch. Where would they have found enough men worthy of joining their ranks? Why not make Inquisitors from the servants above, rather than just killing them? Sazed had always suspected that a man had to be an Allomancer to be changed into an Inquisitor. Marsh's own experience substantiated that premise. Marsh had been a Seeker, a man who could burn bronze before his transformation. Sazed looked again at the blood, the spikes, and the tables, and decided he wasn't certain that he wanted to know how one made a new Inquisitor. Sazed was about to leave the room when his lamp revealed something at the back. Another doorway. He moved forward, trying to ignore the dried blood at his feet, and entered a chamber that didn't seem to match the rest of the conventicle's daunting architecture. It was cut directly into the stone, and it twisted down into a very small stairwell. Curious, Sazed walked down the set of worn stone steps. For the first time since entering the building, he felt cramped, and he had to stoop as he reached the bottom of the stairwell and entered a small chamber. He stood up straight and held up his lamp to reveal a wall. The room ended abruptly, and his light sparkled off the wall. It held a steel plate like those above. This one was a good 5 feet across and nearly as tall. And it bore writing. Suddenly interested, Sazed set down his pack and stepped forward, raising his lamp to read the top words on the wall. The text was in Terris. It was an old dialect, certainly, but one that Sazed could make out even without his language coppermind. His hand trembled as he read the words. I write these words in steel, for anything not set in metal cannot be trusted. I have begun to wonder if I am the only sane man remaining. Can the others not see? They have been waiting so long for their hero to come, the one spoken of in Terris prophecies, that they quickly jump between conclusions, presuming that each story and legend applies to this one man. My brethren ignore the other facts. They cannot connect the other strange things that are happening. They are deaf to my objections and blind to my discoveries. Perhaps they are right. Perhaps I am mad or jealous or simply daft. My name is Quan, philosopher, scholar, traitor. I am the one who discovered Alendi, and I am the one who first proclaimed him to be the hero of ages. I am the one who started this all, and I am the one who betrayed him. For I now know that he must never be allowed to complete his quest.
Sazed!
Sazed jumped, nearly dropping the lamp. Marsh stood in the doorway behind him, imperious, discomforting, and so dark. He fit this place with its lines and hardness.
The upstairs quarters are empty, Marsh said. This trip has been a waste. My brethren took anything of use to them.
Not a waste, Marsh, Sazed said, turning back to the plate of text. He hadn't read all of it.
He hadn't even gotten close. The script was written in a tight, cramped hand, its etchings coating the wall. The steel had preserved the words despite their obvious age. Sazed's heart beat a little faster. This was a fragment of text from before the Lord Ruler's reign, a fragment written by a terrace philosopher, a holy man. Despite 10 centuries of searching, the keepers had never fulfilled the original goal of their creation. They had never discovered their own terrace religion. The Lord Ruler had squelched terrace religious teachings soon after his rise to power. His persecution of the terrace people, his own people, had been the most complete of his long reign, and the keepers had never found more than vague fragments regarding what their own people had once believed.
"I have to copy this down, Marsh," Sazed said, reaching for his pack.
Taking a visual memory wouldn't work. No man could stare at a wall of so much text, then remember the words. He could perhaps read them into his copper mind. However, he wanted a physical record, one that perfectly preserved the structure of lines and punctuation. Marsh shook his head.
"We will not stay here. I do not think we should even have come."
Sazed paused, looking up. Then he pulled several large sheets of paper from his pack.
"Very well, then," he said. "I'll take a rubbing. That will be better anyway, I think. It will let me see the text exactly as it was written."
Marsh nodded, and Sazed got out his charcoal.
"This discovery," he thought with excitement. "This will be like Rashik's logbook. We are getting close."
However, even as he began the rubbing, his hands moving carefully and precisely, another thought occurred to him. With a text like this in his possession, his sense of duty would no longer let him wander the villages. He had to return to the north to share what he had found, lest he die and this text be lost. He had to go to Terrace. Or to Luthadel. From there he could send messages north. He had a valid excuse to get back to the center of action, to see the other crew members again. Why did that make him feel even more guilty?